Thank you, Ed. To begin, I would like to respond to Joe Morris. I am in no way like Hillary Clinton. But to begin, I would like to quote Hillary in my brief remarks about the Philadelphia Society. What difference does it make? When I served as president of the Philadelphia Society from 2005 to 2006, it was a difficult time for our country. The war in Iraq was going badly, and a difficult time for the Philadelphia Society, with our members deeply divided over American foreign policy and the United States' role in the world. The Philadelphia Society's mission to seek understanding but not conformity was strained to the limit. Sadly, some harsh words were exchanged and a few members resigned. But the vast majority of members appreciated the Philadelphia Society's important role in the conservative movement of providing a forum for serious discussion of difficult issues. Fortunately, such serious disagreements are rare, and the Philadelphia Society has provided us with many other benefits and happy memories over the years. And I would like to mention briefly some of those benefits and happy memories. First, we know that the Philadelphia Society has helped to educate the next generation about the beginning of the American conservative movement. Two great examples of this are Lee Edwards' presentation on his biography of Barry Goldwater in 1985, a most memorable session. Also, Stan Evans, on several occasions, have enlightened us with his remarks, Conservatism Now and Then, at the annual meeting in April of 2000, and of the incredible discussion of his book on Senator Joseph McCarthy in 2007. The Philadelphia Society's programs have also provided, have created ripples, planted seeds, and helped to articulate a conservative position on issues. Most recently, Liberty and Justice for All, a critical reexamination of social justice in Indianapolis in 2013, was on the leading edge of a renewed conversation that's been carried on in articles and projects at think tanks on social justice. Also, that program, Most Memorable, Black History and Conservative Principles, back in October of 2004 in Philadelphia, really spotlighted our shared values with the African-American community. The Philadelphia Society has also provided a rich learning experience for its members, taking us deep into subjects that are often far outside our areas of expertise. My favorite program of all time was the program on the rule of law in New Orleans in 2003, chaired by Ed Meese, and featuring amazing legal scholars, including Ken Starr, Steve Calabrese, Lino Graglia, and Randy Barnett. Other examples of this have been Bill Campbell's presentations on English history and the roots of liberty, and Leonard Liggio's panels on scholasticism. But very importantly, the Philadelphia Society has made us laugh, and sometimes unintentionally. In observing the follies in Washington, Philip and I still repeat Stan Evans' famous joke about the evil party and the stupid party producing bipartisan legislation that is both evil and stupid. We laugh when we remember Robert Conquest's deadly serious speech after the Cold War, is the final struggle over, delivered, or rather mumbled, in Chicago in 2000, accompanied by the anvil chorus of forks hitting the frozen dessert plate. The Philadelphia Society has provided us with practical life lessons. In Williamsburg, more than a decade ago, a senior scholar was going way long with his luncheon remarks, and he seemed unclear how to wrap up. And his audience was growing restless. And I was sitting next to John Von Cannon at lunch, and I asked John, "Will this end?" And John simply said, "Watch this." Seconds later, when the senior scholar paused momentarily to inhale, John began to clap enthusiastically. Everyone joined in, some even cheered. The senior scholar and the Philadelphia Society members left the luncheon program happy and eager for more knowledge, more fellowship, and more conversation. And to me, that really sums it up. Philadelphia Society, thanks for the memories. Stay the course.